It's good to encourage one another, isn't it? Sometimes all you need is a friendly voice just to cheer you up and to encourage you. And that's a ministry in itself. Paul said to us, encourage one another in the Lord. So I'm encouraged. I'm blessed. Let it be infectious and spill over and over and over into all of us in Jesus' name. Andrew, are you ready to share the word of God? So let's do it. Amen. Let's rejoice and thank God for his word. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Can you turn to your Bibles, please? The subject today is obedience with endurance. Obedience with endurance. The Bible says, to him that endureth to the end. Amen. It's not about just obeying, but it is about seeing it through to the end. It's not just about being a starter.
Amen.
It's about being a finisher. You see, 3 years ago, round about now, remember it? Yeah. I took Daniel down to Wales and left him in Teen Challenge. That was the beginning. That's when he started. He'd been there a few days and he decided he couldn't endure it. But he realized that if he walked out, that was his opportunities gone. And he realized he had to endure to the end. And we see the blessings of enduring to the end. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, he was a waster 3 years ago. He was no use to anybody. That's because, you see, he got hold of God and he endured in obedience to the end of the course. And when you do that, you see a change. Let's move to our first scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. In the Old Testament, we were studying some of this on Wednesday evening, and it just quickened a word to my spirit on Wednesday evening as we were studying this verse of scripture. This is the story of a king, Uzziah, who at the age of 16 years, he became king, and he reigned on the throne for 52 years. That was quite a long reign for one of the kings, in those days in particular. And as you read that story, and we're not going to go through reading that all today, but as we read that story, we read that King Uzziah was a man who worshipped God. Amen? He was a man who worshipped God. King Uzziah came to the throne at 16, and he was a man who worshipped God, and he reigned for 52 years. He had a great reign. I think you need to use that, because that's... He had a great reign. His territory stretched right as far as Egypt, and they were afraid of him. And so he was so successful because of his worship of God, because he put God first in his life. Amen. He put God first. Hallelujah. And as he put God first in his life, then God extended his borders. You know, as time went on, as you read this story, you find that he was a king who actually, he invented great war machines for those days. He had a great army available to him, which was over 307,000. Wow. These were mighty men of battle. And he used to wreak havoc with the nations that came against him, because the Lord was with him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It says in verse 15, he made engines of war invented by skilled men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. When we look at verse 16, then there becomes a little bit of a twist in the story. And it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. In other words, he became proud. He began to say, just look what I've done. Just look at all these men that will fight for me. And he became very proud. And everybody had to bow down and worship him. He'd forgotten something. He'd forgotten that God had put him there. God had put him there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Never forget where God has placed you. God has placed you. And so his heart was lifted up. And he decided he was going to do something that wasn't his right to do. You see, he'd been anointed king. He'd not been anointed a priest. But it says one day he decided to enter the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Verse 17, it says, then Azariah, the priest, entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they stood up and they opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests and the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God. And verse 19 says, but Uzziah, with an incense in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. The worst kind of leprosy was that would break out on the forehead. And Uzziah had railed and been disobedient to the things of God and railed against the priesthood. Uzziah moved out of his position, out of his anointing that God had placed him in, and got to a point where he thought, I can do anything. And he became proud and arrogant and disobedient to God and to the ways of God. You and I, we cannot afford to be disobedient to the ways of God. We need to obey the word of God. We need to follow and believe what God is telling us to do and to do it in obedience to him. You see, he wasn't chosen as a priest. He was chosen as a king. And as a king, he did a great job. Because that was his calling. That was his ministry. He was set there for the nation. And as he obeyed God, as he was faithful to God, as he served the nation for God, then he was abundantly blessed. I think that says something to you and to me. As we serve God, as we honor God, and as we serve in the ministry that we have, then God will bless us. And I thank God that even last week, that a number of you came out on Monday and did some work outside. But yet today, we cannot see what you've done. It's all hidden. Oh, apart from the tree, yes. The tree went. But everything else is hidden from our eyes. But in a few months' time, we shall see what has been done. Amen? Praise God, there'll be flowers. And they will be all over around the building, and it will look wonderful. And that will happen because of your obedience in your ministry and help. And I thank God for that. I thank God that those of you that bake and bring cakes and everything for the Sunday, it's wonderful. Those that will help in youth work and other things in the future. We're just beginning a journey. We've walked into a new land and we're starting a new journey. We're meeting new friends along the way. And it's great to meet them. And we're meeting new people. And we're growing. And we're experiencing new things. Some people have come from a very far country. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we're meeting new faces all the time. And that's wonderful. Brother, sister. And we're journeying together. But if we're to go anywhere with God, we have to be in unity. And we have to walk together. Keeping in step. And loving one another. Amen. Praise God. The next scripture is 1 Corinthians. Over into the New Testament. Chapter 9. And verses 24 through to 27. Each and every one of us has been called by God. You've been called by God. You've been called by God. He knows your name. And He's called you to run the race. Called you to run the race. So many people set off and run the race. They start, you know, they're on the start line. And there they are. They're waiting for the gun to go. Off goes the gun. And initially when we start running, feels okay. Who can remember running in the school games? Do you remember sports day? I was okay. I could sprint the 100 meters and I was there. And then if they said to us, well, we want you to do the marathon type thing, or we want you to run the mile, the long distance runs. I mean, I'm lean and mean. I'm just a flying machine. I'm just the machine to just go at speed. I was worn out by the time they got round on the second one. What were you?
Hey, what do you think?
You're a lean, mean flying machine, were you?
Straight.
Well, what happened, you know?
A few years ago. Things have changed now.
Yeah, it looks like it's changed. Maybe you're in for the long haul now.
Yeah.
And it's great to set off with great gusto and great enthusiasm. But there's not just a starting line. And it's called the finishing line. The finishing line is just as important as the starting line. You have to cross both lines. To be able to finish the race, you've got to start the race. And having started the race, you have to finish the race by crossing the finishing line. Amen?
Amen.
You believe that? Well, Paul begins to write in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 and says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? We're all running. We're all running the race. He says, but one receives the prize. He says, run in such a way that you may obtain that prize. Verse 25 says, for everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do this to obtain a perishable crown. But for we, it is an imperishable crown. When they ran the race in the Greek races, in the Olympics there, all 2,000 years ago when Paul was living, when they won, they didn't give him a gold medal. They gave him a garland of green leaves that was on their head. This crown was perishable. They gave them a bit of a mark, a receipt, so that wherever they went, they were given free accommodation and free meals because they were athletes. But everything that they had would perish.
Yes, I won. I won.
A garland for winning the race. Just imagine that this is a golden crown, a crown that is given to those who are in Christ Jesus, that have run the race, and they have completed the race.
There you are, mate. I think you deserve one for yourself as well.
Amen? So they ran the race for a prize that is perishable. that will disappear, that will run out. But today we run the race for a crown that is imperishable. It will never fade. It will never wear out. It will never be destroyed. Praise God. And so therefore, Paul says, run in such a way as not without an aim, not without a goal, not without a purpose, but run in such a way. Don't be like the boxer who's shadow boxing, you know, practicing and shadow boxing and giving it all this. Don't be shadow boxing, not beating the air aimlessly. But as believers in Christ Jesus, we are called to spiritual battles. And you know, we're called to beat the enemy. On Monday, Dilip reminded me that when we were in our office talking with Sandeep, he'd brought Sandeep to come and talk to us about whether he was going to go into Teen Challenge. And Sandeep was, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll try this side. And, oh, dear me. What am I going to do? True?
Okay, no?
And in the end, we said to him, we were praying and we said, it is your decision. Is he going to obey God and run the race? And there was suddenly, at some stage, whilst we were in the office, that he changed just like that. There was a spiritual battle that was going on for his very soul. You see, the devil wants your soul. The devil wants to take you captive and destroy you. It can be drugs, alcohol, women, sex, money, whatever it is can be, it will seek to destroy you if Jesus is not first. It is about putting God first. God has to be number one. You see, grace is not number one in my life. Jesus has to be number one in my life. And then when God is in my life doing a work in me, then grace gets all the benefit. But if I was in the devil's camp and I was wicked and evil, then she would receive all that from me. See, Jesus said, a fountain cannot bring forth bad water and good water, or salt water and fresh water. What fountain flows through you and me? Is it the fountain of the devil, or is it the fountain of the Lord Jesus Christ? And it has to be. If people around us are to be blessed, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be healed, to be delivered and set free, it has to be the fountain of a living God that flows through each and every one of us. Hallelujah. And Paul says that I have to discipline my body. I have to discipline my mind. I have to keep it in order. Today the world constantly bombarding you with information, adverts. This is what you need for Christmas. Here's the next computer that you need. Tell your dad. You ladies, you need a new kitchen. Every Christmas it comes round on TV. They start advertising new kitchens. Why? Yeah. Buna thinks, oh yeah, I'd like a new kitchen. You hear that? No, she says. No, she's okay. She's happy with what she's got. But constantly the world is trying to get something from you to be either get you addicted to something. Have you noticed now, at the moment, alcohol is cheap. Buy four packs of this for only £12. And then in small print at the bottom of the screen, for a brief moment in time, it says, drink aware, drink sensibly. When you're addicted to alcohol, a drug problem, when you're troubled by the things of the world, you don't see that. And you drown your sorrows. And you lose the ability to run the race. For you and I, to run the race, we need to run it with discipline in our lives. As we are disciplined to the Word of God and to obey the Word of God, we need to have a discipline. You guys that were in the army, Why did you have discipline? You know, how many men were you with? Give us an idea. Give us a number.
7, 8. 7, 8.
20, 30s. So if everybody decided to go and do what they wanted, all in different directions, was it going to work? No. You needed discipline. The man next to you had to know what you were going to do. And you had to know what he was going to do. Didn't you not? And you were trained in such a way that the man next to you had your back. He was always there with you. You knew what the object of your job was when you were given a mission. Right? Yeah? And you set about it. And together you went in a force. Did you not? Yeah? No? Yeah? No? Sorry, I'm forgetting it. I'm just getting so... Cool. Did you get all that?
Well, yeah, I can... Do... अब तपाईँहरूले आर्मीमा भयो भने आर्मीमा कस्तो डिसिप्लिन हुँदछ अब आर्मीमा अब एक आपसमा हिँडिरहेको छ भने अब मेरो साथी र म आर्मी छोरी अब मेरो साथीले के गर्दैछ अनि उसको अब मलाई थाहा हुन्छ अनि मैले के गर्दैछु मेरो साथीलाई थाहा हुँदछ अनि आर्मीमा जस्तै अब हामीलाई कुनै काम दिएको छ भने त्यसमा चाहिँ अब फुल डिसिप्लिन हुँदछ अब कोठा साफ गर्नेदेखि अब यताउता काम गर्नेदेखि सबैमा डिसिप्लिन हुँदछ आर्मीमा.
And so we have to discipline our body. We can't suddenly have one arm doing this all the time, can we? You know.
And this is good. I'm a Jew. I've been disciplined on the job. But tobe hirdari, tobe esturi hirnu unani, tobe hirdari, tobe thachanu discipline ma kosiri hirnu vanera.
Or suddenly your hand starts doing that, and you think, wait, what's happening? You know. And then all of a sudden you're talking to somebody, and suddenly, whoa, right. तपाईँले
अब तपाईँको अब हात खुट्टा राम्रो डिसिप्लिन गरेर चलाउन सक्नु भएन भने अब तपाईँ बोल्दा बोल्दा आफूलाई पिट्ने हिँड्दा हिँड्दा हातहरू यसरी गर्ने हिँड्ने त्यस्तो हुन्छ नि त.
Something's not in order.
त्यस्तो डिसिप्लिन छैन भने चाहिँ अब त्यो राम्रोसँग अर्डर छैन त्यहाँ.
And we need to, God needs to bring order in our lives so that we know how to obey and to follow him.
अनि त्यसै गरी प्रभुले हाम्रो जीवनमा त्यो एउटा अर्डर ल्याउनु पर्दछ अनि त्यसपछि हामीलाई थाहा हुँदछ हामी कसरी बोल्ने हामी कसरी हिँड्ने हामी के गर्ने भनेर.
And all this that is done, it is done to protect each and every one of us.
अनि यो चाहिँ किन गरेको छ भने यो चाहिँ तपाईँ हामी सबैलाई प्रभुले जोगाउनको लागि हाम्रो जीवनमा डिसिप्लिन ल्याउनु भएको छ.
As these men are trained in the forces, they're there not just to fight against the enemy, they're trained to protect each other. Preventing harm, preventing pain, preventing suffering. Praise God. We need to run this race. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. It would do you good to read all of this chapter. I'm not going to do that today. But all of it is important. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through to 29. Verse 1 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, everything that holds us down, and sin which so easily stops us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So here we have the race. And Paul is still talking about running a race. But it says that you and I are encompassed around by a host of witnesses. Who are these witnesses? We're encompassed about a great host of witnesses. You see, when we run the race, we're not running alone. We're not running alone. Praise his wonderful name. You know, when you do sports day, usually your parents or your grandparents come along and they're cheering you on. It's not as if you're running on your own. Hallelujah. That cloud of witnesses, it is the saints who've already gone on before. They're there cheering you on saying, come on, Charles, you can do this. Come on, Dilip, you can do it. Come on, and they're cheering us on. There are angelic beings all around us right now, cheering us on. Paul's telling us here, You are not alone. You can be sat at home and think you're alone, but you're not. Because in that very room, there are spiritual angels around us. These angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. They're ministering to you and to me. That is their charge. That is their responsibility. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. It says, let us lay aside every weight, everything that stops us, every doubt, every fear, everything that belongs to the world that stops us from running this race. Let's get rid of it. You see, the runners on the racetrack, they come all wrapped up. They're keeping their muscles warm. They're getting warmed up, ready for the race. Hallelujah. And then when it's time for the race, straight away, take off their clothing to get down to a t-shirt and shorts, so there's nothing going to be stopping them. There's going to be no extra weight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we run this race with a purpose. Not just across the starting line, but across the finishing line. It is not about winning the race. It's about running the race. We're running this race for victory in Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, for you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness, and to gloom, and the whirlwind. He's referring here that at the time when God was on the mountain, and the people could say, we know where God is. We can find him. He's on that mountain. Mm. And they had this thing in their face, their eyes, they could see it. Where the mountain was, and said, that's where God is, that's where the smoke is, that's where the light is. And they said, that's where God is. But he goes on to say that which we're running for, we cannot see with our natural eyes. He says in verse 22,
yeah, verse 22,
but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriads of angels. What we have come to is we have come to a spiritual dimension in Christ Jesus. It's not physical, but it is spiritual. What the race that we run is not a physical race, but it is a race in the realm of the spirit that we are running, that we are connected with our bodies. And so God in you, from you and I, is demanding this obedience to run this race, but to run it with an endurance to the finishing line. Because the finishing line is where we need to be. Amen. Finishing line, that is where we meet our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. So God today not only wants you to just obey, not just obey him, but he wants you to run with endurance, keeping going. You see, the race is not about suddenly saying, oh, I can't be bothered today. You cannot stop running the race. You can't have a day off running the race. You can't suddenly say, well, it's Monday tomorrow, it's school, I'm not going to be a Christian tomorrow. Days a week. It's 24 hours a day. We have to run this race constantly. But you never, never run it alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, even to the ends of the earth. Maybe it should have been even to the end of the race. Amen? Hallelujah. Who's ready to run the race? Ready to run the race. Praise his name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Run it with endurance. Read these scriptures that we've given you today and be encouraged. God is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will always be protecting you. Angels are sent to minister to you. Amen. The Lord Amen. Bless you. Praise God.
Praise God. God set me on a course and I am not quitting. Whatever God had said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Let the devil have it. Both barrels, it is written, it is written. And then we shall achieve our victory. We never, never give up.